In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
This seed of a dream and a vision was planted in Chester. Esther's heart and mind and spirit. Why not employ returning citizens with living wage jobs by having them sew vestments for clergy and choir and judges? He birthed this dream a couple of years ago, just before we had to shut down for the pandemic, and is starting to emerge from that and has hired a few folks. And I've been enjoying recently connecting Chester with folks like our diocesan bishop, Bishop Eugene Sutton, who's invited Chester to have a booth at our upcoming diocesan convention so that other clergy in Maryland and other churches can know of his ministry and work. And I've had fun connecting Chester with another friend and colleague of mine, co-director of Turnaround Tuesday, Terrell Williams. And just in case you may not know of Turnaround Tuesday's story, it started when a community organizer and a local pastor took the time to listen to men who were standing in an alley outside of the church. They stood there day after day after day. And this local pastor and community organizer went out one day to listen to them, to listen to their stories, to hear about their dreams and their yearnings. And what started with listening has turned into a jobs movement that in just over 5 years has placed over 1,000 individuals, mostly returning citizens, in living wage jobs with an 80% retention rate. Many are promoted from their positions. Chester and Terrell are now working together, hoping to arrange a contract with one of Turnaround Tuesday's major partnering institutions like Hopkins, the University of Maryland Healthcare Systems. In the dream that perhaps they could hire Lifting Labels, the name of Chester's company, to sew some of their healthcare uniforms. I share Chester's story with you today, and I remind you of the beginnings of Turnaround Tuesday, because they are modern-day illustrations of the story that we hear told in the Gospel of John this morning. The only miracle story, aside from the resurrection, by the way, that is told in all four canonical Gospels. We, in over the past few weeks, have been in the Gospel of Mark, and now for the next few weeks, we are focusing on the Gospel of John, particularly this chapter. Today's story is about abundance. You see, we as human beings tend to view things and situations and circumstances through the lens of scarcity. How can I set this before 100 people? 6 months' wages would not be enough to buy bread for any of these people. But see, our God, the living God, the God of all things seen and unseen, is a God of abundance. Today's story is about the seemingly impossible and what makes it possible. Today's story is about surrendering whatever we have, little or big, great or small, surrendering what we have to Jesus for distribution versus hoarding it to ourselves. Today's story is about what's possible in God's hands, meaning what's possible in our own hands when we take on the mind, when we take on the heart and the consciousness, when we take on the will, and when we dream the dream of God with an eye to everyone having enough. Today's story is about what God, what the holy mystery, what Jesus can see when we ourselves cannot. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. What began with a young boy, 5 loaves and 2 fish, became a meal that fed thousands with more than enough to spare. What might you and I, what might we accomplish together in and with and through God if we would only The mystery of the power of the universe, the holy mystery of God in which we live and move and breathe and have our very being, can do much with little, can do much with our willingness to see, acknowledge, and to not turn away from need and hunger and suffering. God can do much with our hearts' simple and pure desire and longing to serve. God can do much with what we're willing to offer of ourselves and of who we are. With God, nothing is impossible. This past week, I have had the joy of celebrating and giving thanks for the seemingly impossible made possible in and through God, working through human hands and hearts and minds. This past Thursday evening, I, along with over 100 other leaders from around our city and community, gathered to celebrate what Bill, Baltimoreans United in Leadership Development, has accomplished over the past 16 months, to acknowledge where we are and where we'd like to go. And one of the leaders we lifted up was a man named Jose Mello. He's a parishioner of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is one of our sister congregations in Bill. Jose was one of a team of drivers who made it possible for 5,566,092 meals to be delivered door to door to door to people in our city who would have otherwise been hungry throughout the pandemic. Jose. Being delivered by a team of drivers for the past 16 months. And on Friday, I had the joy of leaving a school where the seed of a dream and a vision was planted about 2.5 years ago. A little bit of a backstory. About 2.5 years ago, several of us were gathered in a room on the second floor of Johnson Square Elementary, which Johnson Square is another partnering neighborhood institution of ours in Build. We were in this room that was, frankly, depressing. It was dingy and gray and beige. There were cardboard boxes strewn around the room, tables and chairs that hadn't been used, and books that hadn't been cataloged, in a space that should have been a library but hadn't been used as a library for years, partly because there's no funding to staff a librarian in one of our local elementary schools. And so those of us who were gathered began to dream and envision what might be possible. What might be possible? Someone said, well, I'm connected with a group of retired librarians. Perhaps they might be willing to give of themselves. Another person said, well, I know a professional interior designer who might be willing to come up with some plans of how we might refresh and redesign the space. Another person said, well, I can get input from teachers and students. And then it just so happened that the week of July 19th through the 23rd, this past week, was the week when we were supposed to host Hall Place Camp, but as many of you know, they had to pull out at the last minute because they weren't enough students registered for camp. And so all of a sudden, there were a group of teenagers who were counting on the week of July 19th for service hours and to be able to serve the community who did not have anything to do. And so, amazingly, as Providence would have it, there was an adult volunteer who stepped up. She gave of herself a whole week and said, I can lead a brigade of young people because I may be a retired registered nurse, but I also happen to have some professional painting experience for a family business where I was a professional painter for a couple of years. And so all of a sudden, things came together and a group of about 12 young people with really little to no painting experience, plus me and Rebecca, no painting disappeared, led by our fearless leader, painted the library of Johnson Square Elementary to begin to manifest this vision and dream of bringing out forth a library that students could learn in. Not only did we paint the library, we also painted the teacher's lounge and painted another classroom. And so, this week has been about celebrating abundance, about dreams brought to reality, about the seemingly impossible becoming possible through God working in and through us. So what in your life and what in our lives seems impossible? How might you and how might we invite God to reframe our perspective from what's impossible to what is possible in and with God? Might we have the courage and the faith and the audacity simply to begin? Echoing our reading from Ephesians, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more